Drop that. Ah, yes. Capital City Podcast. I'm your host, Capital J, alongside my main man,
DL Glass.
Say it loud.
I'm black and I'm proud. Oh.
That was the answer. Hey, today we're talking about colorism in hip hop. For those of you that don't know, colorism is the idea that your complexion determines your worth or value. And we see that in the hip hop game. So let's go back and do a little bit of history. First of all, let me say this. Growing up, okay, I started off, did kindergarten through about fourth grade in Raleigh. Mm-hmm. And
that was 60 wet.
Nice one. It was actually 70 something. Bleeding on into the 80s. But of course, during that time period as a kid, you know, I didn't hear anything about complexion. Then we moved into Eastern North Carolina. And, you know, as a kid, you like what you like. And I remember being interested in this girl. She had the complexion, a very dark complexion. And I remember when we got to Eastern North Carolina for the first time ever, I was like, you know, like, hey, she's so dark. And I was like, well, you know, what difference does that make? So in my mind, I thought, well, maybe it's the Eastern North Carolina thing. But come to find out, colorism goes on all over the place.
It's global.
Global. It's a global thing.
Yes, sir.
And I'm sitting here thinking, you know, these folks sure do care about color. What's wrong with dark-skinned girls? But to my dismay, I ran into some people that had issue with complexion. Mm-hmm. Now, in my household, you know, that was never even a conversation. So, you know, it was something I never thought about before. So, you know, to this day, I like what I like, and it doesn't really matter. But over time, I met people who prefer one over the other.
Hmm. Yes.
You know?
Right.
And you see the effects of that in hip hop a lot, especially now, but you saw it early, and we're just going to talk about this for a little while. Now, in the early days of hip hop, you didn't really hear much about, you know, you really didn't hear much about complexion at all. But if you watch videos, you know, the kind of girls that you see, you know, we as black people come in all types of complexions and shades. And, you know, when you look around, it wasn't just light-skinned women who are pretty. But if you watch the media, you tended to see the lighter-skinned woman pushed as the pretty one.
Mm-hmm.
You saw that in a lot of videos back in the day. And today, you have people like Lil' Kim, who, when the first time we saw her, you know, let's go back and talk about the paper bag test that people used to use. Lil' Kim was darker than a paper bag, you could agree, right? The first time you saw her?
Yes, yeah.
If you see her today, she's lighter than a paper bag.
That's just with age.
Oh, really? You can age into it?
Yeah, you know. You start doing different stuff, your body start breathing different.
Oh, really?
Right.
Well, I would argue that at some point, she started drinking the Kool-Aid.
Start bleaching the skin or something.
I think so.
Yeah.
We see it in reggae. Yeah. Reggae music, Vibes Cartel used to be a melanated person.
Damn. Well, you know, he's in prison, so he's inside a lot, so he's not getting out. How the hell he keep putting out music? It sounds like he recorded in $100,000 studio. What's going on?
You know, and then we went through this period of time in hip hop where everything was kind of pro-black. I say the Public Enemy, X-Clan era.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time was the rise of Tyrese, Tyson Beckford,
mm-hmm.
Wesley Snipes. You know, they were heralded as strong black men, right. Not just because of the image they portrayed, but also, you know, their complexion was strong and
I'm glad you said that. Because I think because of the roles that they were playing back then,
mm-hmm.
you know, Wesley Snipes was a tough guy.
Yeah, he was a tough guy.
You know, who else you name?
Tyrese.
Tyrese, well, you know, Tyrese played a thug and everything. And so,
tough.
Yeah, you know.
I keep thinking Baby Boy.
I think about, you know, the other half of the consumer is they don't look like the closer shade to them is what's comfortable. And it's in phases. And we see that in entertainment because early on, like you have the outliers who were darker complected. But the vast majority of anybody in your face when it comes to entertainment was of a lighter shade. And, you know, especially like on black and white TVs, it was easier to pass those people off if they wanted them to play another role or something.
Right.
And I think that directly had an effect on the music because at the point that we started seeing the light skin video girl being pushed out there was a time when we started, I guess, when the money came into hip hop and, you know, the personal side of hip hop could have been questioned as early as the early 90s because we had so many people that was actors that was rapping like they was something other than what they were.
Right.
And, you know, that's like the Hollywooding of hip hop. And I think that's when we started really seeing the lighter skinned person pushed in the culture, in the music, even in the groups and stuff. Like we've heard stories about different groups that didn't get along because they wanted the light skinned girl out front. But right. The dark skinned chick in the back actually is the one who can really sing. Mm. So
outside of those outside influences, it seems like after we got away from our Public Enemy, X-Clan era and the conscious era,
mm-hmm.
the money more and more you started hearing rappers promote
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Exotic. And exotic is anywhere. that's a buzzword for a
yes.
light-skinned chick with pretty hair.
Right. Curly.
not even curly, straight.
Yeah, I mean, but you know? Yeah, but curly hair, you know, like.
And at some point, it's like, did we lose sight of, you know, where did this come from?
Mm-hmm.
Because, like I said, coming out of that era, it wasn't even cool to get on the microphone and say, you know, I'm about all only light skinned chicks. You know what I mean? But rappers, you know, rappers yeah. will say that today.
Oh, absolutely.
And, and you know, I'm starting to, it wasn't until I got to college, I started to see the effect that it had on dark-skinned women.
Hmm. Explain that. What do you mean?
For example, I used to date a girl in college. Mama was from Africa. Dad was, you know, pretty brown. And she was brown. And in my mind, since all the guys, every time I looked at it, it's like, oh, she's pretty. You know, I never heard nobody say she was ugly.
Mm-hmm.
As I got to know her, I realized that she had insecurities from growing up. And she grew up in a city.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, well, okay, that's the first time I realized, okay, this is not a small town or a country thing, you know, even mm-hmm. in big cities.
Right.
They gave her grief about her complexion.
Absolutely.
And she carried that even as she grew into herself and became a beautiful young woman.
Mm-hmm.
She saw herself as what kids saw her as back then.
And you know, it's funny you say that because it makes me think, do you know how much of a the effects of a kid being said, "Your black ass." I'm just thinking about that now. Like, you're dark skinned, and you know what I'm saying? Like, you might be the only dark skinned person, like you said, in your household. And for somebody to say your black ass to it, you know what I'm saying? I was like, yo, that's deep.
And you know what's funny? I always thought that all black people were your black ass.
Me too.
Right. You didn't get your black ass out of here. Right. I didn't think that was any reference to complexion, because, you know, whoever was black in the room, that's who you're talking to.
But just imagine if you're dark skinned.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, damn.
So with that being said, let's take, you know, let's use Lil' Kim as an example. I don't have any proof that she has bleached her skin. But my eyes tell me that she's looking mighty Jackson.
Okay. Okay.
Now let's think about Biggie. Was with Kim. I don't know what. I don't know how they were, you know, but they had a thing going on.
Right.
But the person that the record label pushed out there is this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's Faith.
Right.
She's lighter than Kim.
Yes.
Through the years, we watched Lil' Kim.
But
Do you think?
No,
maybe.
The only reason I say that is because, okay, I understand that, but just looking at the other side, he got a wife and a hoe on the side.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and Lil' Kim took that hole on the side to a whole nother level.
Right. But you know, also, you know, there was the Charlie Baltimore thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And another one.
Right. And that mixed it up.
It's, you know, so so you're starting to see that.
He said he ain't have no type.
Hey, and that's where I am. I don't have a type. But
yes, you do.
Yeah, I like him brown.
Because you've been married.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Nice and brown. Nice and brown. You know, but, you know, if you look back over my portfolio through the years, you wouldn't say, okay, there's only one type of girl here. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And, you know, I don't understand why we feel like it's okay to promote that in our music. You know what I mean? I think that's a pretty big issue, and nobody's really talking about it. But I can say that you got certain artists that I feel like pioneer inclusion. And when I say inclusion, I don't mean like inclusion of all races. I'm talking about within our own community, inclusion of all skin tones.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
like, do you think that the dark-skinned guy has the same struggles mentally as a dark-skinned female?
I do.
Okay.
But I don't think they manifest in the same way. You're not going to see a whole bunch of, you know, you're not going to see as many dudes trying to change their appearance. And being a man, you know, has a certain amount of weight to it anyway.
Anyway, right.
So, you know, there's a certain perceived power in dark skin with the man. And with women, I don't think they get that part of it. You don't get the perceived power, you know. And the assumption that, you know, I think a lot of times, you know, dark-skinned women are overly sexualized. And this goes into the movies, too. You know, some people would say, take a look at a movie like Coming to America. Yeah, two sisters. Eddie Murphy, in the beginning, the chick that he didn't want anything to do with was pretty brown.
Right.
He comes to America, gets a light-skinned chick with a dark-skinned sister. They made a dark-skinned sister look like she was just throwing herself at everybody. Did they not? Just absolutely. Coming to America.
Right, right.
You know, and this stuff gets ingrained in kids' heads. And then when you hear your favorite rapper talking about, you know, exotic chicks, you know, that's, I'm pretty sure, and it's beyond, like, even, I think that goes into the hair thing, too. It's why we spend so much money on hair. Or at least why the women do.
Yeah.
You know, trying to look like the light-skinned girls that the rappers say they want all the time. Mm-hmm. But you got moments of inclusion, like take Ice Cream by Raekwon, the Wu back in the day. Right. You dressed them all.
Mm-hmm.
Young Dolph.
Mm-hmm.
His videos.
Yeah.
Every shade.
Every shade, right.
They all look good. Mm-hmm. You know, Outkast.
Right.
Open the album cover, you know. It's not.
Buffy.
Yeah, Buffy the Body. She, you know.
Chill.
Yeah. I mean, so it's not like you don't have examples.
Right.
But, you know, I think there's still some colorism that needs to be addressed in the community. And I think I would be happy if rappers didn't promote the idea that the exotic chick is the only thing they're looking for. Because the truth of the matter is, you know, there's no real majority here in the community. We're all over the place.
Okay, so I'm going to speak from a male point of view from my perspective. So the exotic chick is way more submissive than, since we're having a conversation about what's being promoted, the exotic chick is way more submissive. So maybe that has something to do with it. You know, the fact of the colorism, because one of the biggest artists said that he was surprised that colorism is a thing in hip hop here. And I'm talking about Drake. And when he said it, I was like, oh hell yeah. And from the male point of view, is like, you know how hard it is for a light-skinned Negro to get the respect that a dark-skinned Negro get as soon as he walk in the room.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's that perceived power that I was talking about. You know, as a man.
Saying stuff like, stop acting light-skinned.
Right. Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like that's crazy. It's not crazy because I understand that this happens all over the world. It's not just with us. So it's not just within hip hop, because if you know, all the I think, like, and I'm just gonna put it on country music. The folks in country music who have the success that we know as, you know, the most successful artists, all of them kind of look the same.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's no, I haven't seen a darker skinned Caucasian person reach certain levels. So even though they're all supposed to be one race or whatever, which is white from some people's point of view, there's still some separation or colorism that goes on there.
And yeah, and it, a lot of that comes from the ethnicity bias that they have.
Yes. Yes.
You know, like, if you think back in the day, Italians weren't really accepted. But, you know, they come over here with dark hair, dark features.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And absolutely. So even in that community, your color matters.
Right.
But, you know, we're not that community.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like...
We're not that community. Right. So, you know, the idea that you can't be comfortable in your own skin in the hip hop community bothers me.
Yeah. And And my point in saying all this is, I think this is a taught behavior. Like,
it's definitely a taught behavior.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, and it goes deeper than what's in the house, because it's almost embedded in us to not only notice the difference, but say it like it's nothing.
And you know something else? It's a small percentage. It's really a smaller percentage of us than you would think, but they're so vocal who point out these differences. And all it takes is that one negative statement to put that in your head. You know, like I said, lucky for me, I didn't grow up on a diet of light skin is pretty and dark skin isn't. I wasn't taught that.
Yeah.
But when I got around people who were taught that,
right,
I'm like, oh, so they got that from their parents.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And their parents got that from their parents.
Right. Right.
And you absolutely have to be taught that.
Mm-hmm.
Because like they're pretty is across the board. You can find pretty in any complexion.
Right.
But if you can't see pretty because it's too dark.
Or too light. Yeah.
Or whatever your issue is, that's something that was probably taught.
Yes. Yes.
Something you were told.
Mm-hmm.
And now that hip hop has the influence that it has, that's a horrible message to send.
Yeah. And I hate to go too far back, but you got to think about how the message was received from the ancestors. And the message was received, if he was too light, that's Master Baby.
Right.
So
he's they're automatically going to get better treatment.
Yeah.
You know, this is one of my kids. Of course they stay in the house.
And then that special treatment probably turned into resentment at some point. And
either resentment or longing to be that.
Mm-hmm. Both right.
Yeah, right. I either resent you for having that quality, or I wish that I had it.
Right, right.
So, absolutely. So ultimately, we're still promoting a slave mentality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In hip hop,
it's crazy,
and this is something that is ours.
Something. Yeah, it's crazy. Nobody creates the way we do. Creates it.
Right.
The way we do.
So we don't need to be creating insecurities in our own people.
Mm.
You know, but outside of our culture, in India, same thing.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
You know?
It's everywhere.
In the Latino culture.
Mexico.
Same thing.
Yes. It's everywhere. The darker you are, and you know what they say, the darker you are, the closer you are to the Negroes.
Hey, but
they been there.
But that's the thing. We got away from the message that being close to your people,
right,
is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Who else looks at identifying with their people as a bad thing? What other culture on the planet?
I could think of a few. And like you said, Latino culture, they don't
right, right, try to get away.
Yeah,
even everybody. But
the closer you are to the sun, the darker.
So now, is this an American construct?
Nah.
That has trickled out into the rest of the world.
Nah, and the only reason I say that is because this is way before hip hop was even around. This is way before. I actually think it's way before America was around.
Well, I read a study that before America, nobody referred to people by their complexion.
Oh,
they referred to them by where they were from. Like, he's not the black guy, he's the African guy.
Hmm.
It said the white and black, from what I read, is an American thing that trickled off into the rest of the world.
Hmm. Hmm. It's crazy.
Thought provoking for a moment, right?
Yeah. I wonder, I wonder how, like, because just look at the African tribes, right? Sometimes they can identify somebody from another tribe because of the color of their skin.
Right. Like, if you look at Africans, like, Ethiopians are obviously look different than Nigerians.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they were capturing people based off looks.
Right.
Now, they sent them, because a lot of those people that were captured, they started getting involved with the slave trade and stuff. You know what I'm saying? So, and the importance of going all the way back is because we always had music.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And without that music, along this journey that we're talking about, and I know we went back far, we definitely would not have hip-hop.
Right.
You know?
So, but when we think about all the, okay, Lauren, like, let's think about successful, since we're talking about the effect on females in hip-hop.
Okay.
Let's look at some of the most successful female rappers.
Right.
Early on,
they had
there was only one light-skinned successful female rapper. In the beginning, I think it was the real Roxanne.
Oh. Oh, yes. Right.
And she was like Puerto Rican.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But everybody else was black and darker than a paper bag.
That's when we had it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's when we had it. Yeah.
Today, when you look around, I think Sexy Red and Megan Thee Stallion, probably darker than a paper bag. But everybody else is pretty, you know, pretty fair complexion. Hmm. All the other girls that are, you know, but they can't be the only ones rapping.
No.
Well, you got your girl down there in Houston,
Erica Banks.
Erica Banks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when you look at, you know, Lotto, Ice Spice, Cardi B.
Nikki ain't that light, though.
Nah, she's not. She's right there in the middle. Yeah. You know, and the truth of the matter is most people kind of, you know, after all this mixing that we've been doing, most people falling in the middle right now.
Yes. Yeah.
But when have you seen, like, you haven't seen a Tyrese in the female form?
Oh, yes. When?
Who?
What's her name?
Who was that?
Scarlett.
Oh, Scarlett. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know
she ain't
had the success the rest of them have had. You know
what I'm saying? Right. And maybe that's why. Maybe that's part of it. Yeah.
Because look at Cash Doll. And what's the other?
Cash Doll didn't get it popping like that. And she has, it's not like she hadn't been doing the work.
Light skinned Keisha ain't as light as she thinks she
is. No.
But she could spit. She made, you know what I'm saying? Like, she made dope music.
Right.
Not reached the stardom.
Right. Well, that's the same, man. I that's on my mind, and I just had to get that off. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, it's too much variety in our culture.
Hmm.
So, you know, I'm going to ask everybody in hip-hop right now, hey, look, big up these dark-skinned women, too. Bring them out.
Mm-hmm.
Bring them out. Yeah. I can't speak to whether they're being suppressed or not, because I don't know what kind of demo tapes are rolling in, you know what I mean, and who's doing work, and I'm not behind the scenes to see them getting turned down. But I know what we see presented.
Hmm.
And I haven't seen that nice dark chocolate.
Yeah.
Brown.
Well, so I think that point is valid, you know, because the level of success that we're talking about. But pretty much if you pay attention to social media as much as anybody else, it's crazy because I heard them on the news quoting some facts from social media. And that was a part of the story. It's fact-finding story. But anyway, social media has such a reach now. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody has dark skin, light skin. People, a part of their content and stuff now. So it's not like the doors are completely closed like they used to be. But I definitely understand what you're saying about that. And it was funny that you said that, because I think that's kind of a good segue into beefs, to talk about the Drake part of it. Because when at the time that he said it, I can't remember exactly what he said, but it was in reference to American media and how the colorism is evident through the media and different stuff. And that's a direct relation to, you know what I'm saying, the music. Because a lot of the media that he was talking about specifically was controlled by music, you know.
And you know something? The same way we were talking about how, you know, darker-skinned women, they get ished on a lot. Especially, you know, you read the comments. You know, not everybody's friendly. But then you look at Kendrick Lamar and Drake beefing, and you see the opposite for the men.
Right.
You know?
What you mean you see the opposite?
You see, there was a time when light-skinned dudes got their, you know, they had their day. But
see how you sit there talking about it.
I mean,
that's how.
But no, there was. I mean, yeah. But you know, like you go back in the day, you had you know, your Al B. Sure, Christopher Williams.
Yeah,
you know,
tea.
Everybody was like ooh.
Yeah.
But then eventually, like you said, the tables turned, and then you start being that light started at some point being synonymous with being soft.
Yes.
That, and
why Bishop killed Raheem.
right. And Wesley Snipes stabbed yeah. Christopher Williams. And I never liked you in no way. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And then here we are in this beef. And this is, I think my issue is with the separation, period.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
we don't need to be a nation divided
right.
about anything.
Mm-hmm.
We only make up 14 to 16 or 12% of the population. We can't be splitting the vote here.
Right.
And when you look at it, it's like they not like us. Who is they? I mean, you know, you point the finger, you call Drake a colonizer.
Yeah.
Then you're clearly saying,
but he's not like us, cuz he's not from here. He's a Canadian. So
you think that's all he meant?
Huh?
You think that's all Kendrick meant?
Well, like, he's not like us. Exactly
he's Canadian.
He told you exactly what he meant. All 7 minutes.
Right. But here goes the funny thing. To a racist, Drake and Kendrick, there is no difference in Drake and Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
And I think that's my ultimate point is like that we're all black here.
Right. Right.
In the eyes of the world,
man,
we're all black. We don't have room for division.
Tell me about it.
And, you know, I think we need to do a better job of promoting that unity across the board. You know what I'm saying? But if we segue at this point, just go on and segue straight on into the beef section.
I mean, why not?
Let's do it. Now, that was just a public service announcement, really. You know, something that need to be said. But on the beef tip, we want to talk about beefs and who won. And I'm not talking about just rap beefs. Like, we already started, you know, everybody's talking about Drake and Kendrick Lamar, and that just tied in to, you know, there could possibly be some colorism in there. But throughout hip-hop's history, you've had beefs, rivalries, and battles. Who came out on top? You know, we talked about rap beef before, but this right here is about who came out on top.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Okay.
The early days was battling, first, on beef.
The first, technically first, recorded hip-hop battle was Busy B. Kool Moe Dee. It was recorded. You can look it up right now. It happened in 1981.
Mm-hmm.
Kool Moe Dee ate Busy B up, and he was clearly the new thing.
Yes, sir.
And Busy B became the old thing.
Yes, sir.
At that moment.
Kool Moe
Dee won.
God.
Fast forward a few years, Cool Moe Dee is looking at LL, mm-hmm. and LL is the new thing. Mm-hmm. Cool Moe Dee is the old thing.
But LL could not have done Cool Moe Dee like he did Busy Bee.
I think he did. Because he, and I actually remember when Cool Moe Dee came back at him. Golly, what was the name of that song? But at the time, Cool Moe Dee sounded as outdated versus LL as Busy Bee sounded versus Cool Moe Dee.
Damn.
Yes, he did. That's how fast
it changed.
That's how fast it changed.
God.
And LL got the best of that beef.
Mm-hmm.
That battle.
Yes.
Right. He got the best of Cool Moe.
Yeah.
Go forward a little bit more. You got KRS, MC Shan,
mm-hmm.
Boogie Down Productions, Juice Crew.
Whole borough.
I think it can't be argued. Well, no, there is no argument. KRS
yeah.
won that battle.
Bridge is over.
He won the battle, yeah. hands down.
Yeah.
As far as the crews go, I don't know. I think Juice Crew is a stronger collective
mm-hmm.
than BDP.
Okay. Okay.
But KRS versus Shan, KRS gets the best of that. Juice Crew versus BDP.
Different.
Entire crew, I think the Juice Crew takes that.
Okay.
That's just my personal opinion.
Right.
Discuss amongst yourselves. But all I'm saying is you got Big Daddy Kane, Biz Markie, MC Shan, Roxanne Shante, Master Ace, Craig G.
Just stop.
Right.
Just stop.
Versus now KRS. Now you KRS is Michael Jordan here. But you got Miss Melody, D Nice. You know what I'm saying?
My name is D Nice.
Yeah.
Stop, man.
Okay. Juice Crew takes the crew battle.
Okay.
KRS wins the individual battle. Okay. Fair enough?
Okay. I got you.
All right. JJ Fad diss Roxanne Shante.
Yes.
I would say that came out as a draw because shortly after the beef, you didn't hear much out of either one of them.
Either one of them. Right.
You know?
Roxanne got off on them.
Yeah. Man. But we're going to take it farther than just rap battles.
Okay.
MTV. And BET. You got Rap City. You got UMTV Raps. I would argue that Rap City won the battle.
Because Rap City played that music.
And first of all, which one lasted the longest?
That shit. Yo.
Yo MTV Raps lasting longer than Rap City? Well, I'm going to say Rap City morphed into 106 and Park, too.
Okay.
So it wasn't just, you know, but
and
the hip-hop video show on BET versus the hip-hop video show on MTV. Who won the battle?
Damn. Well, who won the battle of the stations? You talked about individual and then the groups. So, BET.
The Battle of the Stations, and that too is a draw because neither one of them have anything to do with music today. There is no, neither one of them still stands as a place to see fresh videos.
If you look at MTV2 and all them other MTVs, you'll see videos up there. But it's not like it was.
Right, it's not like it was.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think I'm going to give the nod to BET on that one. Am I wrong?
I mean, I was just thinking about MTV, Viacom, and Viacom own BET now. So
Right.
That's it. But as far as music goes, I don't know because I don't watch either one of them for music.
Right. Could be a draw.
Yeah.
As far as the whole channel goes.
Right.
All
right.
How about this? In the early days, you saw Adidas, you saw Pumas. I'm going to argue right now that Adidas won. And I love Pumas.
I can't argue with
And you know, when Pumas ran the streets.
Adidas sweatsuit, Run DMC
pushed him over the edge.
Man, did they?
My Adidas.
What?
Adidas won that battle. All right. Of course, we had Biggie Tupac, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who won the battle? Tupac?
Won the battle?
If you know, I think most people would agree to have to hit him up. Hey, that was pure savagery on wax.
Yeah, I think Tupac.
It wasn't the best song in the world.
I think Tupac won just for the fact he said this is a beef record. Big, if there were subliminals, he never admitted to it or nothing.
Right.
It ain't like he made no track. The closest thing he said was, if she had kids, it'd be two pops. Get it?
Yeah, two pops. Right.
You know what I mean? That's
so, yeah. So we can pretty much agree that
right.
In terms of the battle between individuals, Tupac took that.
But who won the war?
Between
Death Row and Bad Boy,
Bad Boy won.
Well, I don't know. Because Puff might be close to where Suge
gang. Hey, both of them will be in jail together.
You know what
But label versus label.
Yeah.
Pound for pound. I think Bad Boy might have won the long game.
I don't know, man, because they won't let Death Row go. Snoop got it now.
Hey, look. Hey, look, I was going to get to part three of that whole thing. Then you got the East versus the West.
Oh.
And I think the West Coast took it.
Music-wise, or are you talking about just success?
Success. Like, think about this. At the time when the East Coast and the West Coast beef happened,
mm-hmm.
Let's say you fast forward
2 years.
5, 10 years even. 5 years, 2 years, 3 years. What we being East Coast people forget is that the East Coast stops around Tennessee. And the rest of that, the West Coast had it.
No. And I'm going to tell you why.
Because of the South.
What? And
but this is
not just
the South wasn't all the way in it at the time, though.
Atlanta. 5 years after Big and Tupac, or East and West Coast, we talking about, what, 96? Going, like, 96, 97?
Right.
We go forward 5 years. Here we go now. Now we got a conversation.
Right. Now the end, since the South wasn't even involved in the East-West Coast beat,
right.
What happened was they just took over everything. It's like, why y'all fighting?
Essentially, it's like, so why y'all gun each other down, we going to go in and take everything y'all got.
Right.
So who won?
I think nationally, I think the West Coast had the edge nationally. Because I think more of the country was tuned into what was happening on the West. Mm. But quality of music, I don't know. I think that's
debatable.
That's debatable.
Yeah, right. And you ain't never lied about that. Everything coast-wise, West Coast, East Coast, it's debatable no matter what it is. The whole vibe is different.
Right.
Yeah.
Nas versus Jay-Z. Nas won the battle. Jay-Z won the war.
Why?
Because at this point right now, Jay-Z's a billionaire. Oh, God. Nas won the battle, though. Everybody agrees that Nas won the battle.
Yeah, I can't dispute that. But
can't dispute that.
Yeah. I don't think it was a war.
Well, you know, when you look back on it, say who's, if you're just thinking monetary success.
But listen to them as artists. That's the only reason I'm saying that. I think Nas is where he wanted to be. Jay-Z is where he wanted to be.
I think Nas might be the Kendrick Lamar in that.
Okay.
In that beef.
Okay.
You know, Jay-Z's
the
big commercial juggernaut.
Right, right.
Now it's got the streets.
And Jay-Z
Had the streets too, but, it was a little bit different.
Hell yeah. Nas had the more relatable streets.
Right, right.
Jay-Z had the dream. You know what I mean? The shit he was talking about, his first album, is this, he was like, yo, that's what I want.
Right.
But he talking about he already got it. So that's he's the dream and Nas is the reality. Damn.
Ooh. That was very profound. you need to drop a bomb on that.
I only got one.
All right. Megan Thee Stallion, Nicki Minaj.
Mm.
Who's the winner here?
Of the battle.
Mm-hmm.
I think Nicki. I think, and I can't answer about the war.
I would give it to Nicki too.
Yeah, just
because after that, Nicki had a resurgence.
Keep trying to tell you, man, she never left, man. But I get what you're saying, but she never left.
But even if she wasn't gone, she is replenished.
Oh yeah, that was a charge up.
Yeah, she she had a charge up.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
All right. This is going to be real obscure. Rockaware or WooWare?
Oh, God. Oh. Rockaware. They won the battle and the war.
Okay. Rockaware, Sean John.
Rockaware.
No way.
I still see Rockaware now. Over Sean John. I swear I still see Rockaware now. I don't see Sean John.
Yeah, but where do you see Rockaware?
It don't matter. It don't matter.
You know, are we talking about Ross, Marshalls, Goodwill? What's
not the Goodwill. I will say that. Not the Goodwill. But I still see it. I was surprised. Like, seen it recently. I was
right.
I'm going to do away shit. I saw a pair of lows. I sent you a picture. I saw a pair of lows. Hey, bro, them lows went to a third world country. And they sat them in a warehouse and sent them back years later.
You know what? It sucks to win the battle and lose the war. You know what I mean? Because I just thought about Pastor Troy when he dissed Master P.
Oh, yeah.
He won the battle.
Absolutely. Ain't no more playing GA. But,
Master P won the war.
Yes.
Still laughing.
Tank, man.
At the bank.
Tank. That dude came out with a tank. No limit soldier.
Oh, man. Okay. Here's a classic rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
The lyricist versus the stylist.
Hold on, lyricist versus the stylist.
Yeah, like you take a let me see. All right, let's take a Nelly who has a style. But I don't think too many people are gonna accuse him of being the most lyrical cat in the world.
No.
Versus somebody who is lyrical, like, and not saying there was beef between these people, but like, let's say a Nas or a Jay-Z, who
right.
people call lyrical,
mm-hmm.
but on the charts,
yes,
there was competition
mm-hmm.
between the lyrical MC versus dudes who are coming with style and
right.
So
Jay said it.
I think style won the battle.
The only one moving units is M, Pimp, Juice, and Us.
But, you know, shoot, Eminem is pretty lyrical, too.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So.
But today is style.
Mm.
That's what still stands. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you got lyrical artists out there. And I think one of the last few to rise up being strictly lyrical.
J. Cole, Kendrick.
Megan Thee Stallion is lyrical.
Yeah, she is.
And DaBaby. Those some lyrical cats.
Oh, hell
but,
yeah.
But we can, you know, we just pick four, and I can give you four dozen.
Right.
Right. People who just got style. Mm-hmm. Style is winning.
And I was trying to think of, because I think the, I know I got to say this carefully, but I think the success of certain genres of hip hop is because of that fact, the style, or add life in front of it, lifestyle, mm-hmm. whether true or perceived. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of these artists that do drill music or pain music. But I was listening to three tracks on the way over here, and I was like,
it left you depressed.
Yeah. I was like, and the last track I heard, and then I don't care, Young Thug Digits. Mm-hmm. Man, that song have you out here like
Young Thug is about style. Cause even if he's lyrical, man. Like, can you tell?
Nah,
like I don't Future. Know. Honestly, I don't know what he's talking about.
Like Future.
Yeah, they might be hella lyrical.
Shit, I thought I was old.
I have no idea. It took me a long time to hone in to the fact that Lil Baby was saying something. Mm. I was like, oh, okay, you know. I had to squint my eyes. And
because he used the machine to help his voice.
I don't even know if it's the machine. You know, we're just not in the diction nowadays.
Yeah. I get it. Yeah.
Just not in the diction. Okay.
So who won? I don't mean to cut you off, but Rick Ross or 50 Cent?
Ooh. That's a draw.
I get it.
That's a draw.
Yes.
That's a draw because neither one of them is particularly relevant right now musically. So after they beef, I don't think either one of them just came back with that major joint.
Nah, I think Ross got the capability of doing it, but 50 should stay in his lane. Yeah, and that's just from, you know, Ross right. still got the capability to do it because it ain't been too long ago where he was. Him and Meek Mill got a few tracks out now.
Here's one. Who won? Common or Ice Cube?
Man, the battle. I think Common won the battle because his song was about Ice Cube. And Ice Cube, No Vaseline, he addressed a few people in it. It won't just on Common. He dissed Common, but it just wasn't. And so that's why I say.
But did Ice Cube win the war?
Yeah, because he probably could hire you. Right
now. Ice Cube making movies with comments. Comments.
Absolutely. So, hey.
Okay.
That's crazy, right?
All right. L.A. versus Oakland.
Was there a rivalry?
Well, I mean, I would think that if you're in the same state, because, you know, like, you say the same thing about Brooklyn and Queens.
Well, I say L.A. won.
And we'll get to Brooklyn and Queens.
Right. Some people think Los Angeles is the state.
Right.
So, you know, they won the war, definitely.
But see, that's the thing. A lot of those cats, you know, Los Angeles is like Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we just lump people into the Los Angeles arena when that's not even where they're, you know, like Snoop's not from L.A.
Well, no, you know Snoop from Long Beach. And
there's a lot of cats that are not directly from L.A. And yeah, the Bay Area holds a whole lot of talent.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, I think California is different than Atlanta. And I say California because every artist that I know where they're from. Mm-hmm. It's not like I'm from Norcross and I say I'm from Atlanta. They don't do that shit in L.A. Because it might get your ass killed. like, seriously.
True that.
Somebody ask you where you from in L.A. and you tell them the wrong block, it might get you killed. And you ain't even from there.
Yeah, so we saying L.A. L.A.
Yeah.
I got that. I can dig it.
Yeah.
All right. Houston versus New Orleans.
Or Dallas.
Nah, we just gonna go straight Houston. Okay. Or we could do Texas, Louisiana.
Damn. Oh, Louisiana. Well, I can't say. That's a draw, man.
I mean, let's talk business for a little while.
I mean, it's a draw.
All right. New Orleans, Louisiana, you know, you got Boosie and the whole Cash Money crew, Juvenile, Lil Wayne, Master P, Mystical. But Texas.
Man.
Them boys, Scarface, you know, the Ghetto Boys, of course, Texas. UGK, Raheem from way back in the day.
Right, ain't no need to name them all.
Megan Thee Stallion.
Flip. Still out here flipping.
Right. Slim Thug.
Chameleonaire.
Paul Wall. Zero.
It's a lot of
Trader Truth.
It's a lot of them, man.
But we could keep going about Louisiana, too. No. So
Louisiana, I don't mean to cut you off. Louisiana Webby. is different. And because Louisiana, it was always a top person who went and got them big deals. But look at Texas. They got 5 to every 1 you got. And they got 5 times. You know what I'm saying?
It's kind of like that in Louisiana too, though.
Man, Boosie ain't never had the success Master P had. Or Birdman had. Or NBA Youngboy. Those are the 3 biggest things that I think of that come out of Louisiana. Those 3. And NBA Youngboy ain't on the same level as Master P and Cash Money, no. But just an artist out there. I don't know.
Louisiana, their stars are bigger nationally.
Oh, absolutely.
I can see that.
Look at the arsenal.
I can see that.
You know, like I said, a cat can go double platinum down there in Texas and we never heard of him.
Right. So now, Louisiana or Georgia?
Georgia, because of the longevity, won the war. Louisiana, I would give them the battle.
At certain times, they won the battle.
No, Louisiana won. And you know why I say that? Because I remember that day going into the record store. I know telling my age. And see nothing but No Limit and a whole section by itself.
You know, that was all that money, though. That was all that money.
But just to see.
That was all that money. But let's okay.
And the only reason
we're talking about the war, yeah. The same way we did with Texas, yeah, versus Louisiana,
Georgia,
their artists and where they are on the national scene.
Georgia won the war, hands down.
Let's pick it apart. Let's say you throw Outkast out there as the biggest.
No,
who's the biggest?
The Atlanta sound.
Wait, man,
you got people leaving home to go down there to a rep Atlanta for the past 20 plus years.
They're not from Atlanta. People used to do it in New York.
I know. That's what I'm saying. They ain't do it as long as they doing it from Atlanta, though.
I'm just asking the question. Let's talk about. You know, if we're gonna throw it pound for pound on a national scale, Atlanta and Louisiana,
and that's like, crazy. A whole state versus a city.
I meant to say Georgia, because I can't just say all these people from Atlanta. You know, some of these,
all of them say they from Atlanta.
Yeah, they say that, but they you know, yeah, Atlanta's right. You know, one place, but
it's like going to see the Wizard.
But they're from all over, you know. But on a national scale, you know, let's take the three biggest artists out of the greater Atlanta metro. What do you got? Outkast, Jeezy, Gucci,
T.I.,
Young Thug, Migos,
Future. Don't forget Future. Him.
All right, we just named 7.
Ludacris.
And ooh, okay.
Jermaine Dupri. Crisscross. That's 10.
That's
and
10.
We ain't even finished.
All right, now how easy is it to go through Louisiana and pick 10? Let's see.
Man,
hold on. We got it.
Let's be fair.
Because we can't just say Cash Money. You got to say Juvenile, Lil Wayne, Manny Fresh. Because if you name Jermaine Dupri, you can name Manny Fresh.
I ain't saying that.
All right.
I ain't saying that.
Master P.
Mm-hmm. If you say Silk, I'm gonna cut it off.
Mystical.
Absolutely. That's it.
No, it's not. You gotta throw Boosie in there. You gotta put really, Boosie man. In there.
Boosie will come perform in here for $3,000. Come
hey,
on, man.
Hey, nah, but I'm bruh. Just saying, okay, okay.
What brand has Boosie been a part of?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Georgia got it. Come Georgia on, got it. Are we at a point where we can throw Georgia against California, maybe?
Man, we could throw it against whoever you want to throw it against.
I think it's Georgia, California is maybe a better comparison.
Man. So, okay, I get that. But feel what I'm saying, bro. Everybody in the world was emulating the style of Atlanta music. Everybody. What's your boy name? Designer. That boy from New York City.
Yeah, you know,
he had never been to Atlanta.
That's true. But I also remember a time when everybody that wasn't on the East Coast sounded West Coast.
Okay. I give you that. That, and that was a long time.
Yeah, it was a long time.
It was a long time. Yeah. But now? Man, anybody trying to hear that shit? You trying to turn that down Atlanta, shawty? What the hell you talking about, shawty? It's the A, baby. And it's been that way for half your life.
Right.
And mine, too.
Okay. All right. Strip club music.
Ooh.
Or trap music.
Is man, that ain't a with, comparison.
Is it? Music by bouncing the tail or music by selling drugs? Who wins that battle?
I mean, the music by selling drugs is always
trickles into the strip club.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, there is a, you know.
Yeah, and it,
trap music kind of doubles as strip club music, though. But.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's what I'm like.
Apples, oranges.
Yeah.
Draw.
Yeah.
Okay. Rapping athletes versus rapping actors.
Rapping actors. Hands down.
Rapping actors?
Hands down. Nobody takes an NBA player seriously. But every rapper who turned actor, it helped his career. It ain't too many actors who turn rapper.
True that.
Yeah, you know, so, yeah. Drug dealing or drug abusing?
You know, back in the day, I would have said drug dealing.
It's crazy that you had to rub your chin on that.
Yeah, man. Yeah. That's back in the day, it was clearly drug dealing music.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, drug abusing music.
Yeah.
And starting to take, you know, I think drug abusing music is bigger than
drug dealing music. Because it has lasted so long. And I had this conversation with somebody, and they tried to blame it on Atlanta music, and I said no. Because they was talking about pouring up and that drink and DJ Screw.
Wait, that's Texas.
I know, before Atlanta music took off. So don't try to blame it on one, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Matter of fact, is this the part where we blame Texas for the hard drug problem? I mean, for the opioid problem in hip-hop. The
opioid addiction.
Damn, Texas. Should have kept that lean to yourself.
Should have kept it to yourself.
Writing songs about it.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah.
Something.
And then them boys from Memphis with that crazy ass sound took it to a whole nother level and brought it to the East Coast.
Right.
Sipping on some.
So, okay. Memphis. All right. Tennessee, Louisiana. That's a better. Is that better?
Well,
8-Ball, MJG, 3-6 Mafia.
It ain't fair.
Dolph.
Gotti.
Gotti.
Moneybagg Yo. You got to mention him. He knew.
But versus Louisiana. Is that a fair?
Yeah. I get
fair comparison?
Absolutely.
Who wins the battle?
I think Louisiana wins the battle. But Memphis win the war. And a large part of that is because it's...
I think New Orleans did more with their time in the spotlight. They reached a higher plateau.
What, because of Master P and them?
Master P and Cash Money. Okay. Like, there is no equivalent from Tennessee.
From Tennessee. I'll give you that.
Except maybe, 3-6 Mafia, maybe, considering what they were able to do with the movies and all of that.
Not like what he did.
Yeah.
No, not like that. So I think that a lot of Atlanta sound is shaped by Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
Because those producers are running back and forth. That record label, Slip and Slide.
Slip and Slide was in Florida. That was Trick Daddy, right?
No, not Slip and Slide then. What's the record label that 3-6 was signed to in the beginning?
Hypnotized Minds.
I thought that was theirs, but they were associated.
That was theirs, and they were under Relativity, I think.
Okay.
And Interscope, maybe.
Yeah. But that the Atlanta sound that we hold so dear, I think Memphis had a lot to do with it, too. The production side of it is what I'm talking about. Because a lot of stuff was produced by the group of Memphis producers that we didn't even know that weren't from Atlanta. Like Drum Squad. Drum Squad, Memphis, all day long.
Right.
But rep Atlanta. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's crazy, but they're neighbors.
I'm going to take you up north, man.
Mm-hmm.
Brooklyn, Queens.
That's it. I think because of the success of Biggie, Brooklyn.
And Jay-Z.
And not even Jay-Z, because I think Jay-Z fought the war. You know what I'm saying? But Biggie came through from that Brooklyn style when every other borough was already bubbling.
Right. And back in the day, it was South Bronx, hands down.
You know what I mean? So, yeah.
New Jersey, Philly.
Oh. I would have never thought of it. Philly.
Philly?
Yeah, I give it to Philly.
You give it to Philly?
Yeah, over Jersey.
Over Jersey?
Jersey don't got nobody but Joe Budden.
Red Man, Naughty.
Yeah, man. Red Man was a short-lived story, man.
Meek Mill?
Philly.
Philly.
Beans?
Yeah, Philly. Yeah. My boy Petey Crack.
Yeah. But, just thinking about naming those people, some of our listeners don't even know who they are.
Right.
On both sides.
On both sides. Yeah. That's how long it's been since Jersey and Philly.
Right.
Were, I'm using air quotes, relevant.
Relevant, yeah. Damn. Hmm.
Huh.
So what could you compare New York hip-hop to?
I don't know if there's a comparison.
Because of where it came from.
That's why we gotta go borough to borough in New York.
Right. Compare it to itself.
Yeah.
I think they did a great job of taking that regional music and putting it out to a whole coast. Because I can't even say worldwide like that. Because I know enough people from Midwest to West. It's like, man, I want to listen to that shit. I was listening to this, or this.
And the crazy thing is that the East Coast was more populated. Mm-hmm. From Florida to Maine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's more populated. So New York hip hop will reach, if you just send it straight up and down the East Coast.
Right.
You reaching more listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Than hip hop is reaching on the West Coast.
Right.
Servicing that coast. Right. All the way up from Washington, Oregon. Mm-hmm. On down to Arizona, they go hard for West Coast music too.
Absolutely.
But it's just not the same population.
Right.
And that's where that long lasting reach, not mm-hmm. to mention it was traveling across the Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Okay. I was getting ready to say something silly. Okay, just all right, we're just in the moment.
Yeah.
In hip hop, the gold chain or the gold tooth?
Chain, man. Chain.
Chains all day.
Yeah.
Chains all day.
Battle and the wolf. We get the rest of that. Damn gold tooth, man.
All right.
Oh, I got one.
What's that?
Pimping or hoeing?
Ooh, it used to be pimping. I think it's hoeing now.
And it's both of them, because he should be talking about pimping and hoeing.
Mm.
She a pimp and she a hoe. Like, damn, I didn't know you could be both. But yeah, they both.
Gang banging or drug dealing in the music?
Shit, gang in the music.
Banging. Gang banging. Gang banging, yeah, gang banging one.
Yeah, man.
Gang banging one. Because people still rapping gang banging pretty hard.
Hell yeah. Damn.
And folks talking about drug dealing, but I see way more gang banging than actual drug dealing. I remember when drug dealing was everywhere, but.
Right.
And then there was no gang banging around here.
Mm-hmm.
Just drug dealing.
Now. It's just game bang because I don't even see no drug dealer. And he told me a gang member had a job. He said when he get off work, when he get off work, I thought the gang was his job.
Right? Nah, it ain't like that no more. You gotta have another gig, man.
Man, they need some organization. That's what they need. That's it, man.
That's it?
That's it.
All right, we call it.
Yeah, that's it.
We call it, man. That's it. Beefs, rivalries, and battles. Who won?
Tell us who won, man. You want to be a part of the conversation, email us at info@overheartv.com. That's info@overheartv.com. In the subject line, put the title of the show. You'll know it when it come out. Cause we got two of them right here.
I got another one.
What you got?
Songs about drugs or getting effed up versus songs about the opposite sex.
Well, just sex.
Sex. Love. All right. Songs about sex versus songs about getting effed up.
Whew. Oh, the song about getting fucked up. Drugs. All day.
Over, I don't
and
know,
the
man.
Love
sex,
drugs.
Sex is selling.
Man, drugs. Yeah, sex is selling. You know, looking at it. But
Pound Town. Drugs, she didn't say Pound Town on a Molly.
Yeah, she did. You right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, where are we right now?
A lot of the females don't talk about being doped up, though. That's a guy thing.
Yeah, but guys still talking about sex, too. In addition to, so you get double. Yeah. You get double the sex.
Right. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. We just mad random tonight. You know, every now and then you gotta do that. It's good for the soul.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We mad random. We started off talking about colorism. That was just our public service announcement. We finished on this beef thing, and we're going to go drink a drink.
Hmm.
Call it a night.
Remember to be a part of the conversation. Email us at info@overheartv.com.
Yeah, send us some ideas.
Yes.
We all about that. It's Capital City Podcast. I'm your host, Capital J, alongside my main man,
DL Glass,
a.k.a. Polo D.